The Truth News Network. Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
It is now more important than ever before for you to stay close to www.truthnewsnet.org. There is so much going on in our world right now, you can't afford to miss a single report. And today's report is critical for every American to understand. Today's story is titled The Kavanaugh Circus Hiccup. The Kavanaugh Circus Hiccup. Today was to be a day in which we mused over the extensive qualifications of the incoming Supreme Court Justice. Sadly, we're not discussing his overqualification for the position today. We are not discussing how balanced the court will be with him on the bench with the other eight justices. Instead, not just us, but the entire nation is being forced to take sides in a senseless, unfair, and most of all, untimely smear campaign strategically put together as a Hail Mary disruptive pass thrown by a senior Democrat senator to at best delay, at worst derail Kavanaugh's donning the robes of the Supreme Court of the United States. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, chose to throw a wrench in the confirmation process of Kavanaugh by releasing that she holds a letter from an anonymous source that reveals a sexual travesty perpetrated by Kavanaugh more than 30 years ago while he was in high school. There are a plethora of questionable elements to Feinstein's release of this information, along with the alleged victim almost immediately stepping forward out of the anonymous shadows to go on the record. This, in spite of her purported previous pleas to Feinstein to allow her to remain anonymous and that she did not want to step forward. Questions? Does anyone besides the investigative staff at truthnewsnet.org have any questions? Share some of ours. And maybe, as we answer our questions, those may be answering yours as well. Questions about the Kavanaugh Circus Hiccup. Every circus has a ringmaster. You've been to them before. You know every time there's some guy that comes out and runs the show. Who was the ringmaster of the Kavanaugh Circus Hiccup? You may not have thought of this, but for us here, that's an easy one to answer. It's Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York. Although he has played no active role in the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings with the Senate Judiciary Committee, which he does not serve on now, Schumer has not just been quietly waiting to cast his vote against Kavanaugh when his confirmation vote comes to the full Senate. Schumer has been working diligently behind the scenes to derail Kavanaugh's confirmation. Why? Well, maybe it's because he went nuts when Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, as the Senate Majority Leader, prevented hearings for Obama's last Supreme Court nominee, Merrick Garland. And because of that, Schumer wants to pay Republicans back for their blocking Garland's appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Maybe it's because Democrats in Congress are frantic, trying to find any way possible to short-circuit any appointment of any conservative judge to the court, certain that whoever gets that ninth seat would be the determiner of the future of Roe v. Wade. Maybe it's simply because Schumer is mad about not being Senate Majority Leader, not ever considered as a Democrat vice president running mate, or because he has been unable to railroad several of President Trump's signature legislative agenda items. Whatever the reason or reasons, Schumer is in the ring. He's controlling the circus, and had one of his circus clowns throw a new trick into the ring that has everyone breathlessly looking in. What is the claim of sexual misconduct by Brett Kavanaugh all about? Senator Feinstein, or Feinstein, whichever you want, announced Thursday, September 13th, quote, "I have received information from an individual concerning the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. That individual strongly requested confidentiality, declined to come forward or press matters further, and I have honored that decision. I have, however, referred the matter to federal investigative authorities." The FBI, which is responsible for background research on judicial nominees and other presidential appointments, said in a statement that it had included the information in Kavanaugh's background file after receiving it from Feinstein on September 12th. But the FBI said they would not be investigating the 35-year-old claims. Details of the allegations first came out in The New Yorker in a piece by Ronan Farrow and Jane Mayer, who wrote in part, quote, "The allegation dates back to the early 80s when Kavanaugh was a high school student at Georgetown Preparatory School in Bethesda, Maryland, and the woman attended a nearby high school." It continued, "In the letter, the woman alleged that during an encounter at a party, Kavanaugh held her down and that he attempted to force himself on her," their article said. She claimed in the letter that Kavanaugh and a classmate of his, both of whom had been drinking, turned up the music that was playing in the room to conceal the sound of her protest, and that Kavanaugh covered her mouth with his hand. Not until the eve of his confirmation has Senator Feinstein or anyone raised the specter of new information about him. She was able to free herself, according to the story, although the alleged incident took place decades ago and the three individuals involved were minors. The woman said that the memory had been a source of ongoing distress for her and that she had sought psychological treatment as a result. Next question. If Feinstein received the letter in July, why did she not immediately turn it over to the FBI? This one just really puzzles me. Everybody who knows Senator Feinstein, who has followed her career, knows that, on the most part, she's been kind of a pretty straight shooter when it comes to situations like this. Think about it, folks. How critical is this in the American process of governing? A vacancy on the United States Supreme Court. Yes, there's a Republican president, a Republican-controlled House and Senate. Dianne Feinstein is a long-serving member of the U.S. Senate, and of course, she's a California Democrat. And so, you would think someone that's been in the Senate as long as she has, that served on so many very important committees as long as she has, nobody knows the process better than Senator Feinstein. She waited from July to mid-September on the eve of his confirmation hearing to even allow this anonymous person to bring forward this anonymous letter, and without details. She did not release the details. The details were released in that story we just quoted. She was going to leave it as anonymous. What are the possibilities for her doing so? And as you can imagine, there are several. First, Feinstein met privately with Kavanaugh in her Senate offices and took a considerable amount of time questioning the nominee about a myriad of important elements regarding his appointment to the High Court. One would think that during such an interview, an important interview, this is going to be the ninth justice, the justice that will break ties in the highest court of the land. Feinstein would have broached such a dynamic issue with the nominee, one would think. She did not question him about it, nor did she even bring it up. Further, in Kavanaugh's appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Feinstein asked Kavanaugh numerous questions, but she did not mention in any of her questioning anything about the abhorrent charges made against him by this woman. Feinstein has not explained why she waited so long to refer the letter to the FBI, nor why she did not question Kavanaugh about the alleged incident. So what could her reason or reasons be for not doing so? You want a simple answer? Political expediency. The new way in Congress for the minority party to influence any and all issues that come before it is to, whenever necessary, play whatever card it takes to upset whatever the opposing party is endeavoring to accomplish. We see it almost daily since the GOP holds majorities in both houses now. Democrats find all sorts of ways to obstruct normal governing in Congress. This is no different and should have been expected. It's interesting to note here, though, Republicans, when in the minority, have never historically stooped to tactics like this to control an important nomination. And those that will say that not allowing Merrick Garland's confirmation hearing to go at the end of the Obama administration is an example of Republicans doing just this. No, there was a precedent set by the Democrats that in a presidential election year, late in the year, no major court nominations are ever going to come before a confirmation hearing, simply because that needs to be determined by the voters who are electing a president shortly thereafter. It's called a Biden rule. Joe Biden is the one that offered that up. In case you didn't remember, he's a Democrat. There's a whole lot more with this going on, folks. There's a whole bunch that you want to listen to and that you want to read. Stick with us. There's more just ahead at the Truth News Network.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com.
You love chocolate.
Chocolate.
You love M&Ms.
Oh, yes.
But your tastes have grown up, and you're just not wild about super sweet milk chocolate, so you've been avoiding M&Ms.
Yeah.
Well, fear no more.
Huh?
M&M's Dark Chocolate to the rescue.
My heroes!
M&M's Dark Chocolate Candies. Available wherever fine candies are sold.
George Orwell said freedom is the right to tell someone what they don't want to hear. Today, that's called the truth.
At truthnewsnet.org.
Here's Dan Newman.
We're right in the middle of the truth today about this latest debacle in the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And we're asking some questions about why Senator Dianne Feinstein would do what she did so late in the process, releasing that letter, that anonymous letter from an anonymous person until now. Of course, everybody knows who it is, and we'll get into that a little bit later in this story. But there are a lot of reasons why, and we're just analyzing a few of the things that are important with what's going on. We're asking and answering some questions. Next question, can this whole thing stop Judge Kavanaugh from becoming a U.S. Supreme Court justice? The allegation alone cannot stop his confirmation. What can stop it, and what Democrats are holding out for, is to put doubt in the minds of a handful of Republican senators sufficient to fall short of the majority necessary for his confirmation. Republicans hold just a slim margin in their majority in the Senate. There are several senators who already were unsure about Kavanaugh, primarily based on the fear that he is an anti-abortionist and might be the deciding vote to overturn Roe v. Wade if a case came to the high court to do just that. Those senators are Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine. They're both Republicans, but they're both very moderate and very pro-choice. Additionally, Democrat hopefuls hope that Kavanaugh will tire of this unexpected pressure and attack on his integrity, and he'll simply withdraw from consideration for the spot. Or President Trump could, too, request that Kavanaugh withdraw, and then the president would replace Kavanaugh's nomination with another justice. Has there been any other case similar to this in the Supreme Court confirmation process? You bet there is. There's a case that is so similar to this from 1991, it's spooky. Think back. Clarence Thomas was a Supreme Court nominee. A former associate of his named Anita Hill came forward during those hearings and accused Thomas of sexual assault against her. There was no evidence proving or disproving her claim. In very, very ugly public hearings, Democrats and Republicans alike sparred back and forth regarding the validity of her claim and the horror of the process of attacking Clarence Thomas as a nominee. There were no women on the Senate Judiciary Committee that was chaired by, you guessed it, former Senator and former Vice President Joe Biden. The committee failed to, via committee vote, endorse a full Senate vote on the nominee, but the full Senate voted on Thomas's confirmation without committee approval. And Thomas, as you know, was confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. It is noteworthy that no such case has ever been brought forth in a case involving a liberal/Democrat justice nominee. This appears to be still another way for the minority party to throw a curveball in this process that they find necessary because of lacking control in the confirmation process. Remember, in the Senate, Democrats, too, are in the minority. Now, down to the nitty-gritty of this whole thing. What role is the media playing in this happening, this occurrence? You can bet there's a bunch going on. That is probably the easiest question to answer in all this. They are all going bonkers. One can just imagine which networks and which newspapers are being objective while giving Americans the facts of the story and which are in the tank. It's the usual lot. Fox News, The Drudge Report, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, The Washington Times are all simply passing out facts, while CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, The New York Times, The Washington Post are all wallpapering their news reporting 24/7 with not news, but their perspectives that feed their political narrative on all things to do with this. It is so ridiculous, it is almost funny. Now, Andrea Mitchell of NBC Nightly News went to the airwaves. This is regarding the Brett Kavanaugh sexual assault allegations, and Ms. Mitchell compares it to that 1991 debacle where Anita Hill stepped forward with similar allegations against the nominee, Clarence Thomas, who we talked about just a few moments ago. If you're listening to the podcast, here's the story. Listen up. Of course, if you're on the website, you can watch the video. Here's Andrea Mitchell.
The parallels are eerie. A female college professor reluctant to publicly accuse a powerful man nominated for the Supreme Court of past sexual misconduct. Days before a vote, forced out of the shadows when her identity is revealed.
My name is Anita F. Hill.
Humiliated and accused of lying by some senators on what was then an all-male judiciary committee.
I took that to mean we ought to have sex or we ought to look at these pornographic movies together.
The White House organizing a fierce counterattack with a searing denial from the nominee.
I would have preferred an assassin's bullet to this kind of living hell that they have put me and my family through.
But in the Me Too era, will it play out the same way? Back then, the committee led by Joe Biden sided with Thomas, refusing to let Hill introduce a lie detector test or a corroborating witness.
She was called every name in the book for just trying to tell the truth as she saw it. And it made it clear the stakes are tremendously high for any woman who wants to speak out.
What has changed? Now Joe Biden says he owes Anita Hill an apology. And the committee has 4 women and 17 men. And Anita Hill this weekend issuing a statement saying, "I have seen firsthand what happens when such a process is weaponized against an accuser. And no one should have to endure that again." Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
The only parallels in this case are the fact that the nominees were and are Republicans, and the accusers were women. Now, let me just say this. Every woman that has been assaulted or been the party who was attacked in some type of sexual assault deserves to be heard. They deserve a way to take care of the situation. And if wrongdoing was committed, the perpetrator needs to be held accountable. There is no other way this should be done. The problem is, how do you do it? What's the way to do that? We're going to get into more of that tomorrow. But first, let's kind of summarize today. This story, believe me, is far from over. No doubt, even with the obvious delaying tactics being used by Democrats, Kavanaugh should still be confirmed. He's the worthiest, the most qualified nominated justice in U.S. history. That's according to experts from both sides of the aisle. But the process is not going to play out so quickly. Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee want to interview the woman and Kavanaugh in a hearing in which they are both under oath. The committee is scheduled for a vote on moving his nomination to the full Senate this Thursday, but that is unlikely at this point. I expect for the committee to have testimony from her and Kavanaugh both before that vote is taken. It is important to note the Democrats are the solo artist of turning the presidential appointment confirmation process into a simple majority. Remember, former Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada changed the rules that formerly required a 60-vote majority. He changed them to a simple majority. Obviously, if that old rule was still in place, the confirmation of Kavanaugh would be almost impossible. This latest hiccup brings that possibility back into play. Now listen to this. Who is the woman? You may know her name by now. We're not going to mention it tonight. But the investigative staff of TruthNewsNet.org is preparing a full, in-depth report we will bring to you tomorrow. Make a note here. That story will go live internationally at 0145 a.m. tomorrow morning. You don't need to wait up that late. But just so you know, that's when it will be distributed worldwide. We have a lot of viewers and listeners in Europe and Asia, and that's why it's distributed that early every day. If you've not already, log in your email address at the bottom right of the homepage of the website. You'll then receive during the night, every time a new story or podcast is posted, you'll get an email link to any news story podcast, and you can simply click on the link to go straight to it to read or hear every story ever posted at truthnewsnet.org. Don't worry about your email address, folks. It's totally confidential. We never give any email addresses to anyone. The only entity you will hear from or individuals you'll hear from is us at truthnewsnet.org. And we promise to never try to sell you anything. We'll never even run ads on our site. Everything here that you read or listen to is 100% free to you. Log in simply to assure that you never miss a story or podcast. Well, this has really been interesting, and it's getting even more interesting. Said it before, I'll say it to you now. The lights in the kitchen have been turned on, and the roaches are scrambling for cover. There are many things going on in D.C., part of this story and part of other stuff there. Stay with us. It's getting deeper and deeper. And tomorrow, meet the woman that makes the claims against Brett Kavanaugh here at the Truth News Network. So long.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.